yes, I'll live in glory. By and by, I'll sing and tell a story. There on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory. By and by, oh, yes, I'll live in glory. By and by, I'll sing and tell a story. Stand if you will. Well, I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days. Watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever. Glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory. By and by, I'll tell and sing love's story. There on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them it's the truth. It's just the truth. We're fixing to live in glory. And it's not too far in the by and by, neither is it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a real good hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory. By and by, I'll sing and tell of story. There on high, with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory. By and by,
I want to be a servant along this pilgrim way and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? We had a time here Wednesday night, didn't we? You appreciate the word of the Lord. It just gets better all the time. It's camp meeting again. Every service, it's camp meeting all over, Brother Greg. I'm glad to be part of what God's doing. You know what? We're not all of it.
But aren't you glad you're part of it? Whatever He's doing there, we're part of it. I'm so glad for that tonight. God is so good to us. He's so mindful of us. So good to have you in the service, Brother Jeff. Good to have you back in church tonight. Been sick, been in the hospital, Brother Gary Hara. He said he's never remembers being as much sickness at one time in his life, but he's right here back in church tonight. Gary, God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. If I fail to call your name, you've been out sick. God bless you. We're so glad to have you. It's just good to be a Christian. It's good to know the Lord. It's good, even better, that He knows us. Amen. I'm glad He knows me. He knows your name. How about that? He knows your name tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated just for a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. Got several things we want to let you know about tonight. First of all, let me make this announcement because of a lot of the flu and different things in our local assembly here. There will be no Sunday school again in the morning. Hopefully by next week, all this will be out of here and everybody will be better. But remember, no Sunday school in the morning. So remember that, parents and children. I want to pray for Chris Cauldron. He was involved in a serious motorcycle accident. Also pray for his salvation. He is from Texas, so we want to remember that prayer request tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. We want to pray for Josh and Linda Chandler, situations in their marriage, also for salvation. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. Sister Irene Pierce sends this to the local assembly here. We'd like to thank the church for all their kindness and sympathy that they showed my family and I during the loss of my husband, Mike. Not only the church, but the bride of Christ from different parts of the world were there in spirit, praying, sympathizing, encouraging us through all. Thank God for the hope Christ gives us that we will see Him again one day in a brand new body with no sickness, sorrow, or misunderstandings. Love you all in Christ, Sister Irene Pierce. So we just certainly continue to remember those folks in prayer that the Lord would just keep them in His love, keep them in His arms. We believe He's able to do that, don't we? Brother and Sister Baker says we want to thank the Lord for touching us and for being able to be back in church tonight. Thank you all for praying. So we just thank the Lord for touching those folks. Sister Deanna Glenn not feeling well tonight, unable to be in the service. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. We want to pray for Emily Midkiff from Arkansas, has a torn hip. So let's remember her tonight in prayer, in a lot of pain, no doubt. Also an unspoken prayer request for Perry Midkiff. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. Want to please pray for Sister Estep. She's having problems from radiation burns, from cancer treatment. So let's remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Brother Andrew Kennedy says, I need prayer concerning a job situation. Thank you and may God bless. So let's just pray that that would all work out. Sister Linda Phillips sends this in for Steve Bennett. He was in a car accident and is on life support. So let's pray that the will of the Lord would be done in that situation. Just a lot of things going on. Your life is so valuable and so precious. It can be taken away in a minute, in a second. Your life can be gone. So we want to make our life count for Christ, don't we? All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. You know we're serving a wonderful risen Savior. Do you believe that? Do you believe He's more than able to meet whatever you have need of tonight? We believe that with all of our heart, don't we? Let's all stand tonight, if you will. We'll just commit all these things. And Lord, Brother Greg, will you come tonight? Greg Robbins, come and lead us tonight to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Certainly appreciate Brother Greg, Sister Shirley. They mean a lot to us here, buddy. We love you, Brother Greg.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne tonight. We come with praise and we come with thanksgiving. We thank You today, dear Father, for Your many blessings in our hearts and our lives. The Word of God that You've taught us. The Word of God that You've led us to. Heavenly Father, what will we do without Thee? Lord, so many people go through life without not even knowing You. I couldn't handle that, Lord. After knowing You and living for You, it's the greatest thing that ever could have happened to me. It's the greatest thing that I ever had the opportunity to live and exist in. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight for these needs. There are many needs, dear Father. And I've seen You answer prayer so many times over this pulpit, so many times I've seen people come back with testimony after testimony of your great hand. Father, we're looking to you tonight. We're looking to you tonight to reach down and touch these needs. We're looking to you tonight to bless this service. We're looking to you tonight, dear Father, to anoint every heart, every ear, every soul. Anoint Brother Donnie as he brings the word. I pray, dear Father, give us the ear to hear that word. For it's in your blessed name we do pray tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come tonight, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have Brother Junior, Sister Martha Ward, they're here tonight. I don't know, is your daughter, is she here with us tonight also? Is she here? I didn't see her, but if you're here, raise your hand. Back here, give those folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Actually, they're not really visiting. They just come back home to pick up a few things. And we're certainly glad to have them in the service with us tonight. Glad you're here. Most of all, we're trusting that the presence of our Lord Jesus would be welcomed in this service tonight. Because it don't matter who is here, who is not here. If he's here, it'll take up all the, it'll make all the difference in the world. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. We're going to have some good special singing. Got a brand new CD to introduce to you tonight. Be telling you a little bit more about that just in a few minutes. But let's sing this song, and we're going to help you sing the verses if you'll let us. This is just what heaven means to me. I love to hear him sing that, don't you? I like to help him sing it. So let's join in and help him sing it tonight. This is just what heaven means to me.
It's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day where night will never be.
Oh, yes.
It's a city where no storm clouds ever gather. Oh, this is just
hallelujah.
What heaven means.
Oh, let's sing it now. With all of our heart. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the thrones upon the glassy sea? We'll meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever.
Of Jesus,
oh, won't it be worth it
before
then?
Whose image other loves awfully, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'm gonna be there. Cause this is just what heaven means.
Oh, sing it to him, church. place of no misunderstandings. There's a lot of that over here, isn't there? Misunderstandings. I just misunderstood. I just didn't know what you was talking about. I misunderstood. But over there, everything's going to be clear. It's going to be plain to us. I'm so glad we're on our way. I'm so glad you're on your way. Even though some of you ain't acting like nothing, like you're even wanting to go, I'm glad you're still on your way. Praise the Lord. Let's give Him one more hand clap of praise. Glory.
Sing that second verse one more time.
Maybe this second verse sung one more time will wake you up, and we're going to have some church here tonight. That's what you come for, right? This is known as March Madness. This week or whatever, 2 weeks, whatever we're in, it's known as March Madness. Everywhere you look, March Madness. Well, the world's been mad a long time. And people's getting madder every day. But I'm glad we're on our way to not a March Madness, but an everlasting place that peace and joy is going to be forever. Are you glad about it tonight? Are you glad you're on your way? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him.
Hey, everybody.
And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee, and when they crown Him Lord of all, I want to be there. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me.
Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throngs upon the glassy sea?
We'll meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever.
Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. God bless you. Appreciate you singing. Appreciate your input into the service. It means so much. If you're standing where I'm standing, you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. Can I look out there and I see zero response. Zero. I get mad. I get aggravated. That's where I need a good understanding. Lord, help me get through this service without killing five or six of them. I'm just kidding. But it does mean so much when everybody pulls. Everybody does their part. It means everything. God bless you. You're very good at doing your part. Now we have a new CD available. Sister Caitlin Andrews. She's here to sing for you tonight. She attends Brother Joe Green's assembly over in Ruth, North Carolina. And I believe Brother Larry Elliott produced this CD. They have it available for you over in the library after service tonight. If you'd like to go by and pick one up, I know it's going to be a blessing to you. I've heard bits and pieces of it. Sister Caitlin, where are you tonight? If you'd come on, get ready to sing for us at this time. Where is she at, Brother Larry? There she comes. Give her a nice hand tonight as she gets ready to come and sing for you. This CD is called The River, and I know it'll be a blessing to you once you get to listen to it. So let's enjoy our sister tonight as she sings for us.
What manner of love is this that you would I'm a child and you name free. Nothing will separate us. I'm held by you. Oh, I know.
Service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. And let's just pray for our pastor that the Lord just give him just bushel baskets of stuff for us tonight. May we receive it tonight. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Harry, lead us in a chorus. Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight.
There's only one way I know to be what she just sang of, and that's in Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I've overcome. I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my
of strength. Hallelujah.
My
praise the Lord. Go ahead, give him a good hand. He's worthy of your praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that's where we stand tonight? In Christ alone. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon, if you would. I know you're surprised by my text. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of the cross, or the wood of Lebanon, which was cedar. These mighty men, valiant, knew how to handle a sword. Professionals, men who were hand chosen by Solomon. A couple of weeks ago, after I finished our service here on Sunday, I went home and I laid down for a little bit to rest. Now that I'm an old guy, I have to do that. And whenever I laid down, the Spirit of God spoke something to me, so I couldn't go to sleep because of what kept prevailing in my heart. which is what I'd like to speak to you about tonight. And it was this. As valiant as these men were, as strong as they were, as well trained, as professional, but there was one battle that they could not fight for the Shulamite. And that was the battle of the mind. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your presence, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity again that we can come here in this place, be able to worship you, Lord. We are grateful, Lord Jesus, that you are so mindful of us. How many times have we met here? Thousands over the years, and I've been here almost 30 years now. How many times have we met on this hill? For the most part of the weeks, unless it's snow or something like that, 3 times a week. And there's not been one time that you haven't showed up. You've been so faithful to us, Lord. You've saved us. You've healed us when we've got sick. When we were weary, you lifted us. How many words have come across this pulpit and the one in the other place, Lord, that has been words that were so personally sent to us from you. We want you to know we are grateful tonight. We don't want to be an ungrateful people. We know we're living in an age when people are so unthankful. They're so ungrateful. Lord, we don't want to be that way. We want you to know we love you. And we thank you for every blessing that you've given to us. Every time you've heard our prayers, every time you've whipped us, every time you've corrected us, we want to thank you, Lord. I pray tonight that once again, Lord Jesus, we ask of your mercy that you'd come and speak to our hearts. Give us those things which are beneficial, Lord. This is out of the direction, Lord, that I had already studied to go, but you know best. So we're just committing it to you tonight and asking you to speak to us. Help me to be an oracle of God. Your mouthpiece, Father. May the people be able to pull on the gift and pull what they have need of out of this service. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again about an overcomer in the galleries. This little woman had quite obstacles to overcome. These men are sent for her protection, of course. They can fight Amorites, Philistines, Jebusites, all kinds of great men of war. But when it comes to her own individual battles in her mind, there's only one person that can fight them, and that's her. It's the same with you and I. God gives us His Word. He sent us a prophet. Was in this day of science, and they were able to make tape recorders where they could record the sermons. We are privileged people in that we're the only ones in all the seven church ages would still be able to hear the voice of our messenger after he's done gone into paradise, into the presence of God. We're grateful for that. God's given us Bibles. He's made a way where we can have them on our phones. God's given us dictionaries to be able to know the meanings of the words so that it would make our understanding more fruitful. God's given us a diversity of ministers to be able to enlighten us with their gifts as they come to exemplify to us the Word and the will of God. God has given us so many wonderful things. And those things are to make our journey more complete, truly make it more fruitful. Not always necessarily to make it more easy, but to make it to where that we will be successful in our journey. But in this part of the journey, as the Shulamite is now coming from Hermon, she is leaving the great mountains of the lions. She's leaving the dens of the caves, the representatives of darkness of where she has come from. She's been beckoned by the voice of her beloved to come into a sphere which is different than any world she's ever known. It is a world that she's unfamiliar with, a world that she's walked with him in the time of their courtship. She's seen the castle. She's seen the garden. She's seen the palace walls. She's seen the people of the court. She's seen the women of the court, the men of the court, all types of people that surround this royal type of life. No doubt everything that she saw made her that much more aware of how she would feel so out of place. How that it's going to take some real adjustment on her part to ever be able to go above and transcend what she has known all of her life. It's just being basically a poor shepherdess that was abused by her brothers, put out to take care of their flocks, abused by them verbally and mentally and psychologically, no doubt being told over and over again that she'd never amount to anything, she was no good and would never be anything. You know, a lot of us are dealing with similar things in our lives. And even though we sit here tonight, born again, many of you filled with the Holy Ghost, yet what you are as a mortal has a great impact on what you will be as you start on your journey to immortality. Because the immortal presses itself through the mortal to change you, and it still deals with the mortal as it is pulling you on your journey toward home. Even the way we hear preachers preach, much of that comes through the realm of mortality. If you were abused by a strong father or someone on the job, an abusive male, many people still struggle with the preacher when he goes to try to correct them. And they pull it through the exact same mold. And they pull it in this male chauvinist type of idea. And they struggle. Is that God? Is that Brother Donnie? Is that the Lord? Is that Brother Donnie? Is that Brother Terry? So they're sitting there trying to struggle in the service and figure out, is that God speaking to me, or is the preacher mad at me, or what? Much of that is their mortal realm by which they're pulling it through. And that's nothing but the devil. Let me tell you that tonight. Now, we know then that because the battle is in her mind, she has already, by the grace of Solomon, found favor in his eyes. He's done everything physically to be able to transport her in her journey safely back to him. He's done everything he can do. These men, no doubt, will do everything they can do. The chefs that are with them in this journey, those who will prepare the food, those who will do everything in the journey to make her as comfortable as possible. Yet, they themselves cannot bring her into this realm of the thinking of being the queen of Solomon's heart. That is a battle that she herself must face and overcome. Now, he himself, I'm sure, is wise, and he knows mortality and mortals well enough to know that it's going to be quite a battle for her to transcend such a low, humble birth to ever be able to walk in the palace as a queen. He would never want her to behave as a gardener. He would not want her to come in and a few days after being married and go to question, well, where's my wife at? Well, she's out hoeing the taters and the maters and the picking the beans and the blackberries and the raspberries. She's out there mucking out the stalls because that's what she feels comfortable in doing. Well, that would be so unbecoming to Solomon's own reflection, because then the people would look at him and think, is this what he took her for? Is this why he wanted her here? I thought he wanted her to be his queen. I thought that he wanted her to be able to move into this high place. Now, if they would have found her in such a situation, it was not because Solomon wanted her to be there, but it was because she herself was unable to transition from the lowly position that she was in into that position which had been given to her by the grace of her husband. So she's in this battle now as she's going on this journey, being 50 miles or so from where that she would have left and left her parents and her brothers. And she's now moving along the journey. So at least a couple of days and a night, possibly two nights. So she has plenty of time to think about it. Now these people in their mind, they are already trained by Solomon to teach her as royalty. Now if she had not been who she was, they would have felt more comfortable and conversing back and forth and talking to her. But it was the Eastern and Middle Eastern mentality that you did not approach royalty. You waited for them to speak to you, and then you answered back. If they carried on conversation with you, you did that, you minimized it in honor and respect to their person. So they are not going to just carry on this big conversation with her. So she's going to have a lot of time to think about who am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? I can't believe that this is where I am. God help me. Please help me to be able to know how to behave myself and conduct myself in the court of the king. Now, we know, of course, that the battles that we fight, we're not the first ones to fight them. It is a battle that was brought down on the earth about 6,000 years ago, or a little over now. And it was whenever the battle had fell from an angelic battle, a battle that was in the unknown, invisible realm to us, when it come down to human beings on the earth. And as Satan began to fight the first mortal that he ever come against, it was as if though he was learning as he went. As the mortal he was fighting was learning as she went, so the enemy was using various things. He was trying various things. He'd never dealt with a mortal before, so he did not know exactly which way to go. So he began within the range of boundaries and prisons and freedoms. We'll look at that a little more tomorrow. And then explaining to her that there appeared to be certain boundaries that God had put her behind, and those boundaries seemed to be unfair. And that by the lack of her understanding, it was God holding back something from her. He presented this to her in a way that it seemed unfair, and it was more like a prison per se. So he was offering her an element of freedom and liberty so she could do whatever she wanted to do. He's still doing the same thing. Now, remember that it started, of course, in her mind. Her body is yet virgin. Her soul is yet virgin. Her mind is virgin. But as his thoughts become from him to her, they are still harmless as long as she is only pulling them into her mind. But as she begins to pull them into her mind and she begins to think upon them, then something is happening in the mental process as far as the spirit, also going down now into the soul, in that she takes his thoughts into her mind. She begins to think upon them. Now, they've entered into the gateway of the outside expression, which God gave us five contacts of our earthly home: see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Now, it had gained access into the outer court, and that was the gate by which she was able to hear it, and she's able to respond back physically. If it would have went no farther, there would have been no harm done. But as she opens up now the spirit realm, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. Now she opens that up and pulls it in deeper to where that she begins to now think upon it, and those thoughts are now becoming a part of her. So she has now pulled those thoughts into herself, and she's begun to reason. Now remember, the prophet said that it came through the wombs, and he calls it plural, wombs of Eve. Well, first it was the womb of her mind, that she began to conceive this child in her mind before she ever gave her body over to the serpent. So in the womb of her mind, she began to think. Now all of this, of course, we don't have no record of the time, how long this was going on. Could have been moments, could have been hours, could have been in plain up to it for weeks, we don't know. But the way Moses writes it, he condenses it, so you know it's hard for us to say. But he speeds up the processes and leads her then to that spot to where she then yields her body in completion to the serpent. Now the battle begins in the human mind. Now watch this, in the greatest battle ever fought, the prophet said there is a mutual ground, a no man's land, and they fight here at this place. They just don't fight one over here, one over there, one down there, one fight right here, but there's a battlefront where they meet and test their powers. And he's talking about the enemies, of course, which is God and Satan, where each army tests its strengths against the other army, a mutual meeting place. Now don't miss this. When this great battle started on the earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin, and for the battle to rage, and that battlegrounds began in the human mind. There's where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of the battle where it was to begin. And that is because that decisions are made from the mind, the head. Notice, and he goes on to say, the battlegrounds where you've got to meet your enemy is in the mind. You've got to make your choice. It meets you. Again, page 14. Decisions are made in the mind, the head. There's where Satan meets you, and the decisions because that God made a man that way. So the battle rages then with Eve as she is now taking the armament of the devil, which was what? His words, which was transposed into thoughts, and they are seeds. Now they're totally invisible, but they begin within him who is now the author of sin. He is the father of lies. So he takes this serpent, which was an animal, which had a place for a soul. He didn't have a soul, but he had a place for a soul. But the devil did have a soul. So the devil steps inside this animal, and he now impresses upon this animal the ability to be able to become anointed. So this animal becomes anointed, and he yields everything that he is, his mouth, fixing to yield everything about him where he can reproduce, and he yields that to the devil, and the devil begins to anoint him, so as the words come out of his mouth, they are anointed words. Now, they're not just dead symbols that don't mean anything, but they're actually satanic anointing. Remember, Satan can be able to appear as an angel of light. He can actually transform his ministers as ministers of righteousness. So his words become anointed. Now the serpent becomes the minister, the first minister of the kingdom of Satan. So he becomes a minister. What is he? He is now a yielded vessel by which supernatural powers, demonic powers, can take him over. He is the first man of sin in the sense that Satan stepped in him. Now remember, he is the first yielded being by which the
devil was able to yield his person in the way that he could actually father a child. And we've said it before that Cain actually had two fathers in the sense that he had a father of his body, which was the serpent, a father of his nature, which was the devil. Praise the Lord. Now the devil cannot create, neither can he procreate in order to be able to expand his kingdom by fathering children by sex desire. But here was the missing link, which was between the animals, of course, and man. He was the closest thing. Now he was a mirror reflection of that which God had made in heaven, because everything on earth is mirrored from heaven itself. So when God made all the angels of God in heaven, there was one that he made which was the highest, the closest to him, and that was Lucifer, son of the morning. When he made the creation on the earth, there was a being that was made which was the closest to man on the earth. So the serpent mirrored the devil, and Adam mirrored Michael. Oh my. The church world, church carnal natural, is mirroring the queen of Laodicea, and the bride is mirroring the queen of paradise. So we know that it goes in pairs and it runs hand in hand. And so God now, he brings it to where that once that the man, now the man himself, is faced with the consequence of what the woman does. Then Adam begins to think about it. Adam takes it upon himself, and he quickly embraces Eve, and he sows his seed in her. By so doing, he will spare her the judgment of God of being taken away from him. He cannot stand the thoughts of living in paradise alone again. He just can't stand it. So what Adam does, he takes her to himself, sows his seed inside of her, and then the seed from the Son of God will prevent her from dying under the penalty of death. You understand? Now, eventually, of course, they will both die together. Now, watch. In the mind, though, is where the battle begins to rage. You'll agree with this so far. The mind is where the battle begins to rage. Notice he says again in page 15, now here's where the battle begins, right in your mind. Now, remember, it's not Christian Science. It's not mind over matter. The mind accepts the life which is in the Word of God, and there brings the life. So just your thought doesn't do it. But the Word of God brought in the channel of your thought. Now notice how you're even tied in the work of reconciliation and redemption. That as much as God would want to save us, as much as God would want to redeem us, yet God must channel his power through our thought. So we take his thought in through our channel of our thought, and through there in the womb of the mind we submit ourselves to God, and we actually become born again through the channel of the mind. You understand? Now, how did death be brought upon the earth? How did Eve submit that to where death will be brought upon the earth? When she submitted her mind, and through her mind being submitted, it introduces death into the human race. So how will life come back again? By a virgin saying, be it unto me according to thy word. So now God by himself created in her, but yet it must be another glory. It must be another human on the earth standing there taking the power of the word of God into their thought and saying, be it unto me according to thy word. How will the rapture take place in the last day? How will it be consummated for the bride around the world? The bride is taking the very thought of God. It becomes our thoughts. It becomes our words. It becomes our life. It becomes what we think, eat, live, praise the Lord. And it will actually force the change in our body, because we are receiving life through our thoughts. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The mind accept the life which is the word of God, and there brings life. Just your thought doesn't do it. Now remember, we can take even scriptures and we can quote even the message. We can quote the rapture message till we knew it by heart. We can quote Brother Branham till we know my great portion of the message by heart. That within itself still will not do it. It must be the word of God quickened alive. Then when that rhema comes through you, then it is life, and then it takes on flesh. Praise God. Your mind accepts it and grasps it. What is your mind controlled by? Your spirit. And your spirit catches the word of God, and that's the thing that's got life in it. It brings life into you. Oh, brother, when that takes place, when life comes down through that channel, the word of God is manifested where? In you. So when life comes down into that channel of your mind, and you sit there and you hear what you're hearing tonight, and when you turn on a tape, and when you hear another minister preach, and you sit there, that's the truth. That's right. That's the scripture. That's the message of the hour. Amen. I believe that, Lord. Then what are you doing? You're accepting the life of God. Now, Satan then hearing you respond that way, he's going to do everything he can, either while you're sitting there in church, or as soon as church is over, or tomorrow, the next day. Don't you understand why there's so many things in our life that surround us to divert our attention? If Satan can't stop the men of God from preaching the word, and he can't, if he can't stop the word of God from coming to those men, and he can't, then he'll do everything he can to stop you from receiving that word, and just put so many troubles in your life, family troubles, financial troubles, tax problems, this problem, that problem. And what does it do? Then our minds become so occupied with just the natural things of life that we don't find ourselves thinking on the word and thinking on the rapture, but we're thinking about this family problem and that family problem. I'll tell you, friend, I believe it's time that we as the people of God center our thoughts on those things which really matter. Should not we be concerned about our family? We should. Should not we be concerned about the conditions of time that are around us? We should. But we need our priorities right. And your main priority should be you ready to meet the Lord Jesus. You filled with the Holy Ghost. Your job, your money, your this, that, and the other, all of it has its place. But you having a good job ain't going to get you ready for the rapture. You having extra work and making more money ain't going to get you ready for the rapture. Your priority ought to be you, and then your wife, and then your children, and then what God has you to do, being ready to meet this change that we're talking about. Oh my. It ain't enough to come and hear me preach it. I can study and study and study and preach and preach and preach till I'm blue in the face. It ain't going to do you a lot of good unless you take it home with you and think about it and become what you're hearing. Now, I want you to notice this. This is a private interview that was held in 1964 before the service masterpiece. Now, Brother Branham is actually back in the office there at the Branham Tabernacle while this service is beginning. You can find this on the message software. It's called Private Interview. The following is a personal interview with Brother Branham have with Sister Georgie Bruce during the song service preceding the message of the masterpiece. Now, in this, they'll put her words, which she'll say occasionally, and they will be in brackets. So if you want to notice that whenever we read it, this is Brother Branham. Now, I visited you in the hospital that time, and I prayed constantly, God. Now, notice this. God wouldn't let you die because you're of value to the church. Now, I want you to notice this is a woman. This is not a man. It's not a preacher. It's not a deacon. But it was a woman in the church, and the prophet said she was a value to the church. A value to the church. Now, I know you. I know you're going to be all right, Sister Bruce. I believe that with all my heart, see. And Sister Georgia Bruce said, Brother Branham, most of all, I want the experience that I've been sealed in the Holy Ghost. And if God will reveal it to your heart. Now notice, this is her desire. She wants to know that she's sealed with the Holy Ghost. Answer her, Elijah. I believe with all my heart that you are a real born again believer, Sister Bruce. Oh my. How could that spirit just leave when you get sick? Now watch, he's pulling the natural into the spiritual in order to show her where she's at and why she's feeling the way she's feeling. Now, she's feeling like she doesn't have the Holy Ghost. She's feeling like she can never put her foot down on a certain day or a certain time or a certain emotion or a certain event to where she got the Holy Ghost. Now, the prophet is going to help her see why she's feeling this way. Oh, glory to God. Now, he says, Sister Bruce, how could that spirit just leave? No, he said, when you get sick, you get weary, and you're a nervous type person. Now, watch in the brackets. Now, she answers, yes. And see, and you get things on your mind, see, little bitty things, and it just keeps building up both ways. Now watch, she's asking about the Holy Ghost, but he's giving her the answer she needs to understand that she's already got it. Well, praise the Lord. I hope after this service is over, some of y'all realize you got it. It'll hit you about 4 a.m. You'll come out of the sheet screaming like a wild man or a wild woman running through the house, and your husband and your wife said, what in the world? I got it, I got it, I got it. It hit me, I see it. Now watch how he likens this now in her nature. And you get things on your mind, see, little bitty things, and it just keeps building up both ways. So there's two ways in which this builds up. So she gets little bitty things on her mind, and then it builds up. But there's two directions by which that this builds up, and this is what he calls the both ways. And notice he said, you get somebody on your heart, you want to pray for them, you get up and pray for it, you can't rest till you get that person prayed for. That's you. Then take it on the other side. Satan might present something that you out of this way. Now watch, this is not the Holy Ghost. This is not God's nature. This is Sister Georgia Bruce's nature. That when she gets somebody on her heart, she just pray for him and pray for him and get up and pray for him. Boy, she can't stand it until she's praying for him. But that's the human nature. The Spirit of God now is moving on that human nature or that makeup. Now Satan views that about Sister Georgia Bruce, and what he will do, he'll turn that right back around and use that same makeup against that sister. Now that attribute is a wonderful attribute when it's funneled in the right direction, but when it's not, it'll beat the daylights out of you. Now watch her. He says, take on the other side, Satan maybe might present something that you out of this way. And then God, see, you're a nature. God works and Satan works. Then when Satan tries to make you believe that you are not, see, you keep building this, maybe this and this. Now watch, what God was doing was building a positive thing on top of that. Oh, I got to pray for him. I got to do this. Oh, my, I've got to do that. I've got to do that. That's well and good. But then when God would back off, then Satan would come with a little bit of something. Well, see, you can't tell. Well, so-and-so said they could remember the day. They could remember the hour. They remembered when they started jerking their head and shouting and talking in tongues. Now, Georgia Bruce, can you remember when you got it? Can you remember what the sensation was, what the emotion was, what day it happened, and what does it do? Now, Satan doing, oh, I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. Satan will do, take the exact same nature that God uses, which is the human instrumentality, and then Satan will take that same human instrumentality, that same makeup, them same thing, and go to building and building and building and building. See, you ain't got it. You ain't one of God's. You've never had a real experience of the Holy Ghost. That's what your whole problem is. You're deceived. You ain't going in the rapture even if there was such a thing. You're not going to be part of it. So it builds and it builds and it builds. And Sister George at this time in her life is having heart problems. So it was making her nervous and tore up. And Satan was adding to that by the worry. Oh, I hope Happy Valley is hearing me preach tonight. Oh my, notice this. Hallelujah. You keep building yourself this and maybe this and maybe this. See? Don't look at yourself. Would somebody in 5 minutes or less please tell me how that's possible? I'll tell you in 15 seconds or less. Supernatural power of God. How can I not look at myself? There's nobody I know better than me. There's nobody I look at any more than this ugly mug. But he ain't just talking about looking in the mirror. He's talking about looking at your makeup and your mistakes and your shortcomings. He might as well put a lot of our names on this same interview. I'm sure glad they recorded this. Thank you, Sister Georgie. I'll shake your hand that day. Notice now, don't look at yourself, Sister Bruce. Remember, I'm fixing to pray for you. I'm not worthy of that. I think, what would I do if Jesus Christ was sitting here now? And what would he do if he's sitting here laying his hands upon you with his great faith, see? And you'd get well. Well, I think, well, I'm a sinner. I'm not him. For those of you who thought he was, I'm not him, but I come to represent him. Amen. But remember, me being a sinner, and before God, I am not a sinner, and neither are you. We got a blood sacrifice laying there. God don't even see us. Some of y'all are riding in the palanquin, and I've studied all this out, and I've prayed, and I've prepared, and you're sitting right there resting, and you still don't believe it. It ain't struck your heart yet. There ain't no way you're going to tell me you see this. Some of y'all would have yelled at the police, and Elizabeth would have heard you. I see it, Brother Donnie. Really? Do you? Yeah, I see it. Till tomorrow, when something happens that you don't understand, and then you're tore all to pieces again. We see it intellectually, but I say most of us do not have a revelation of it. Why? Because it battles us in our mind. You see, seeing ourselves, many folks, they're constantly looking at themselves and they're looking at their shortcomings, their failures, their faults, all that. But there's another category of people which strike on the line of narcissists, and they look at themselves too. But they look at themselves as being some of the most beautiful, the most handsome, the most gifted human beings that ever looked and lived on the earth. And you're just fortunate to even, you know, be able to be around them and just smell off of them, I guess. Just kind of be where they are. But no matter which one you are, most of us cannot relate to that because we're not that makeup. But there are a few in the world. Actually, some have come to our church, I think that way. Anyway, there's a few in the world who really are stuck on their self. Either way you lean, you've got to get your eyes off of yourself. Whether it's your mistakes or your shortcomings or your great abilities or your money or all your cars or how big your house is, you will go to hell by keeping your eyes on yourself. You are not your Savior. You are not your Redeemer. And neither are you the one who's going to hinder you unless you allow yourself to hinder you. Oh, my. Notice this, how he said, we got a blood sacrifice laying there. God don't even see us. He hears our voice, but he sees the blood of Christ. That's it. See, he sees the blood of his own son. It's our voice, Christ's blood. Then it's Christ that's talking through us to God. Oh, it's Christ's voice talking through us to God. It's Christ's voice talking through us to God. It's Christ's voice talking through us to God. It's Christ's voice, yes, I'm going to keep on saying it till somebody screams or something. It's Christ's voice, Christ's voice, Christ's voice speaking through us to God. Oh my, Lord Jesus. It's our voice, Christ's blood. Then it's Christ that's talking through us to God. So therefore, we're not sinners no more. We are Christian. I believe you to be a genuine Christian woman. I remembered the thing, and then Sister Bruce says, I make so many mistakes, and I fail so many times. You see, she hadn't got it. Now, she heard these quotes. She's sitting right there in the prophet of God. He wasn't reading them to her the way I'm reading them to you. He's sitting right there, right across from her, 2 or 3 feet. I've been right there in his office, so it's not very big. So she's sitting 2 or 3 feet from where Brother Branham was sitting. He's looking right at her. And she still don't get it yet. That's why there's hope for us knotheads. We're getting it by being printed out and read by somebody, and it has to be read again and again and again. Thank God if eventually we're going to get it. Now notice, Sister Bruce says, I make so many mistakes and I fail so many times. That's why Christ
had to die so that you, with your mistakes, they wouldn't be lauded to you. Lord Jesus, see, He took your mistakes. Your desire in your heart is to serve Him. And Donnie said, yes. Wes said, yes. Y'all going to say yes? Don't just leave Sister Georgia Bruce in there, but put yourself in here, Brother Greg. Put yourself in here, Brother Phil. Yes, Lord, this is me. This is my desire to serve You, Lord. This is my desire to live true, Lord God. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, hallelujah, that when that rapture takes place, I've got my ticket in my hand, and there ain't one thing between me and God. Not one thing. Your desire in your heart is to serve Him. Sister Bruce says, yes. All right, that's what He died for. That's what He did. Did you get it? Your desire is to serve Him. That's what He died for. So you could desire Him. That's what He died for, so you could feel that way. That's what He died for, so you could serve Him. Your mistakes has not looked not lauded to you. See, He is your propitiation. See, He is your sin offering. Your sins are not known. You're not a sinner before God. Christ took your sins and became you. Because your desire is to serve Him. Glory to God. He came because of your desire. He died because of your desire. He redeemed you because of your desire, which was given you in Him before the world ever began. What are you going to do, Shulamite? Are you going to ride on this journey and be defeated every day of your life and look at your mistakes and your shortcomings? Or are you going to say, thank God I once was lost, but I ain't lost no more. I once was blind, but now I see, and I'm on my way to a new body. I'm on my way to a new city. I'm going home. It's my desire. It's my desire. These are wonderful quotes, are they not? But she still hadn't got it yet. And Donnie says, or you said, or you. I've never had an experience that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost that I could put my foot. Friends, don't you understand it's easier when we're Baptist? As far as easier flesh-wise to say, well, we accept Christ, that's it. Hey, it's easier when we're Pentecostals. We'd go up and beat them on the back and thrash them, they'd talk in some kind of tongue just to get saved, just to get out of there. You know, just stammering lips and jabbering and whatever more, they're going to be beat to death if they didn't do something. So they'd do something, Brother Bert, say, yeah, glory, you got her, brother, hallelujah. The truth is always the hardest place. It's always easier to drive in the ditch. Jesus didn't come to make a ditch line to heaven. He came to make a way. And the way is always in the middle. It's always in the extremist that goes to the left or the right. But we want to skip the way, which is right in the middle of the road. So to look at an emotion or look at an easy believism, both of those are wrong. And yet, does it come with an experience? It does. Should every person have their own experience? They must. It's not just an option. Every one of you young people, old people, every one of us, we got to have our own experience with God. But this proves to me that many people still are looking for something that's not even scriptural. They're overlooking the very experience that is so supernatural that God gave them a desire to serve Him, and they're looking for a jump or a shout or a holler when you're not emphasizing the right thing. It ought to be, I want to live for Him. I want to serve Him. I want to be right. I want to do right. It's my desire. There's your experience, my brother, sister. Hallelujah. There's your experience. Your nature has been changed supernaturally. Thank you. I've never had an experience that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost that I could put my foot on it. All right, he says. Notice this. Ordinarily, a human being is born in sin, shaping iniquity, come of the world, speaking lies. That's the nature of a human being. And Donnie says, yes. Y'all saying it with me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We're together. That was. Glory! That was your nature. It changed once. But what changed it? And you said, there you are, sister. Brothers, there you are. You're looking for tongues, you're looking for jumping. There can be no greater miracle than your nature changed. There can be no greater miracle. She's looking for something she can put her foot on. I don't want to put my foot on the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham ain't wanting to give her something she can put her foot on. He wants to give her something she can put her faith on. Look at what you were and look at what you are. Look at what you wanted to do and look at what you want to do now. Look at where you wanted to go and look at where you want to go now. That'll tell you who you are. What changed it? She says, Christ. There you are, sister. See? That's it. But you know the problem, friends? That's too simple. Brother Jim, it's too simple. If that can be revealed to every individual this night that wonders whether or not you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost or those that will stream this service around the world, you will never be the same after this service. Now, it ain't my preaching in this service so much. If God can quicken that to you and it becomes from Logos to Rhema, you're going to give hell a hard time the rest of your life. Woo! Why? Because that's it. That's it. Say it with me. That's it. That's it. There you are, sister. See, that's it. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but hath past tense, passed from death unto life. St. John 5:24, Jesus speaking, see, you're a Christian, Sister Bruce. Listen to this. I've watched your life. I've watched you. Under vision.
Think about it.
And I know you're a Christian. Isn't that wonderful? But it wasn't wonderful enough for her. I think. Brother Branham has no question. But she does. I guarantee one thing with many of you, you probably fight the same thing as your pastor. I could sit down with you and say, brother, well, you're such a godly person. You're this and that and the other. And if there's anybody going the rapture, it's you. I was as close to God as you are. And then after I scraped you up off the floor and done mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and put 3 gallons of Gatorade in you and got y'all woke up and said, brother Donnie, I think I had a dream. I think you said you wanted to be as close to God as man. I said, no, it wasn't a dream, it's the truth. Why? Because I might be able to see that in you. You can't see it yourself. You know why? You're looking at yourself, Shulamite. But you're going to have to overcome that temptation to keep looking at yourself. You look at yourself every day. You look at your faults every day. You look at
at your mistakes every night. You search yourself. You research yourself. You keep a recorded memory of all of your shortcomings and all of your stupidity. But you need to learn how to cast them into the sea of forgetfulness and ask God to give you victory over them. And if you've got besetting sins in your life, let me tell you tonight, the mighty God is here to deliver you. I've watched your life. I've watched you under vision. And I know you're a Christian, see. Not one speck.
Yes, sir.
Well, if I'd have been in that office about right now, I'd been out on the platform knocking down the song leader. I'd have turned the piano over. That's the difference between me and Sister Bruce, of course. I don't think Brother Ram's office could have held me. Can you imagine a prophet of God saying, not only have you met the scripture requirement, I've watched your life by vision.
Oh, Brother Donnie, I wish I could have been seen in the vision.
You didn't know you were? He saw you in the vision. He saw you in the vision. You're that Omega bride. You're that ending bride, my brother and sister. We have already been seen in the vision, Brother Skip. We have our place in the vision as well. Oh my, yeah, but it's not quite the same. He didn't say Phil, or he didn't say Cheryl, or he didn't say Carol, or he didn't say Donnie, no. But he called the word, and when the word was spoke, I heard my name called. What name? Donnie? Louie? What? No, the word. Miss Jesus Christ. Amen. That's better than Donnie. There might be thousands of Donnies in the world. Notice as he says, see, I'm your shepherd. As it was. And she says, yes. Somebody to help, see. And if there was any doubt in my mind, if I thought there was something wrong, I'd tell you. And Sister Bruce says, I believe that. Now listen to this. If there is anything wrong in your experience, anything between you and God, as far as I know anything about it, Sister Bruce, there's not a thing. Lord, have mercy, children. Ain't this what we want, brother? Ain't this what it's all about? Isn't this what life really is? Our purpose in life? For this to be said about us, Brother Jerry, to know that there's nothing, not a thing, not a thing, not a speck, not a wrinkle, not a spot, a blemish. There's not a thing. There's not one thing. Now he tells her, we're going to pray. And Sister Bruce says, of course I'm going to die. Unless God undertakes for the heart. Now he says, you're not going to die, I don't think, Sister Bruce. Now look, children, look at how we are. Why? She's pulling these things, Brother Danny, through the human makeup. Don't you understand? This is your biggest enemy right here. You can sit and hear the word and know it's the truth. That's right. I know it's right. I know it's the truth. And then go out and making that come to pass in your life is where the real struggle is. Because in your mind, a good reason, how can I do that? I just got under Brother Donnie's anointing. I made all them commitments. I can't do that myself. No, you can't. And neither can I. But I know my God can through us. But he wants us to take that word into our mind and think on it and meditate on it. Amen. The prophet of God said, you will never get perfected by looking at yourself. Think of it, Jim. We will never be perfected. corrected by looking at ourselves. Lord Jesus. You're not going to die, I don't think, Sister Bruce. If it is, it's hid from me. Sister Bruce says, thank you, brother. Now watch him, he's going to pray. Dear God, this little woman is constantly, constantly doing good. You can read her reply there, oh God. She's tried like Dorcas of old. And now she's getting this time of her heart is very bad. Oh, but did not your word that we put our whole soul and mind in, our whole soul and mind in, say that all things will work together for them that loves you, then it must be that you're working something that we don't know nothing about. And Sister Bruce says, thank God. Thank God. God letting you go through trials and tests and bodily afflictions and this and that and the other. Maybe God's got a great victory that He's working out in your life. And this is where the people of God, even when we don't feel like thanking Him, we need to say thank God anyhow. Thank God when you're up. Thank God when you're down. Thank God. It's all for the good. For she loves you. Now to the great shepherd over all of us, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His name I lay my hands on my sister. May the God who made her and brought her to this earth. May His spirit that sealed her away from the things of the world to be your servant. May it heal her sick body and make her completely well. For we need her in the service, Lord. I commit her to you with this prayer of faith. My hands laid upon her to identify myself with the prayer. And say to this mountain, in the name of Jesus Christ, be moved. That our sister may live to the kingdom of God and for the glory of God. How many thank God for Sister Bruce? I wonder how many saints have been blessed by that interview. I don't know how Sister Bruce, how it affected her from that point on. I don't know the outcome of it, but I know my outcome because of the result. It's going to be positive. Amen. God allowed this. Why? Now we've not got a preacher that's being interviewed. We ain't got somebody being interviewed about a gift or something like that. But it's a mortal that loves God and believes the message and loves the prophet. But they are battling with the Holy Ghost and they're battling with their makeup. And we get an insight by vision into the life of an individual that absolutely can be sealed with the Holy Ghost. Death has passed away. Oh, hallelujah. The old nature has passed away. And they are still struggling because of the human makeup. They're riding on the palanquin to the house, to the castle of the king, and they're still not worthy. They're still not ready to think they're ready to go in the rapture yet. And yet by vision, not one thing. I don't care how much money you've got. Your cars, your houses, your clothes, whatever more. If this can be said about you, my friend, you are one of the richest people that has ever lived on this earth. Can I have a few more minutes? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Not every other one. Not every hundredth one. But every thought. And the church said, amen. Notice again, don't look at yourself. God don't look at you, He looks at the Lamb. He He looks at Christ, and there was no fault in him. God accepted the offering. You put your hand upon the Lamb, Christ Jesus, and confess your sins as being a sinner, and the Lamb has died for you. The Spirit comes out of the Lamb and comes back to the believer. Amen. And you stand perfected because the one who died, the innocent one, the powerful one, the overcoming one, the accepted one in his person, returned in the form of the Holy Ghost and brings you, the believer, into rest. Oh, hallelujah. I can't overcome. You can't overcome. I accept the life of the overcomer. I can't be perfect. I accept the life of the perfected one. There it is, not you, him. God don't even see you. He sees him. You don't have to die. He died in your place. Notice this again, the faith of Abraham. If you're in Christ, you're part of that covenant. And the promises, you say, I'm not worthy. Neither was Abraham. Nobody's worthy. It ain't how worthy you are. It's what God promised. I'm not worthy to stand up here, but he's called me to do it. You're not worthy to be a Christian, but God made you one. You're not worthy to be a Christian, but God made you one. Oh, Lord. God made you one. This temple is not worthy to set on this ground, but God set it here. That's it. It ain't what you are. It's what he is. Everybody's always looking at theirself. Well, you can't look at yourself and get anywhere. You are finished to begin with. You're a failure to start with. There's nothing to you to begin with. It's what God made you. It's what you are. So apparently some of y'all needed to hear this tonight. And God... God started whispering this to your bodyguard. Now, I can't make up your mind for you, but I can kind of funnel and channel your direction, your mind in a certain direction. You still got to make up your own mind, but I'm going to give you some powerful stuff to see if I can help influence you in the right direction. Notice again, look at Jesus and find any fault in him. Don't look at yourself, look at him. Don't look at who you are, look at who he is, and you'll be getting close to divine healing. Search your sacrifice over. If you can find any fault in that, well, that's different. Then you have a right to disbelieve, but there's no fault in him. God don't look at you, he looked at the sacrifice. That was a perfect one that died for all us faulty ones. Oh my. Who are disfigured, immoral, and ugly, and everything. But he took that perfect one and looked him over and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He was the sacrifice. God accepted him, so ours is finished. All we have to do is walk in grace. All we have to do is walk in grace. Don't look at yourself, look at your Lamb. God don't accept you. He accepted the Lamb. And the Lamb took your place. Oh God, can't you see it? Not you. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. There's none of us worthy. But see, it's he that's worthy. God said so. He accepted him. And he said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm pleased to dwell. This is my son. Hear ye him. On the day of his adoption, that is him. Don't say, well, the doctor says I'll never be well. That's what the doctor said. That's a scientific man. He looks at the way nature's running. He sees you can never be well. That scientifically shows him that. Well, that's what he's looking at. And if you look at the same thing, you'll never be well. But don't look at what he said. Don't look at what you're diminishing, but look at your sacrifice. And let me close with this. So how can you be perfected? You can't look at yourself and be perfected. But I looked at one that is perfect, the one that took my place. He's the perfect one.
Now, Shulamite, can you overcome the temptation to constantly look at you? I'm a Reagan. Look at what Reagan's done. Look at what Schultz's done. Look at what Babb's done. Look at what Yonce's done. You'll never, ever reach a state of completion, perfection, until you look beyond yourself and look to Him. Oh, Brother Donnie, you saying tonight then we can sin and do whatever we want to? Of course, I sin all I want to. I drink all I want to drink. I smoke as much as I want to smoke. Get drunk, rob banks, pillage, plumb, you know, just do whatever I want to do. I just don't want to do none of that. You know what I'm talking about? You don't either. And when I do make a mistake, I'm going to tell you one thing. It don't take me 47 years to come to repentance. If I know I've done something short of the glory of God, I want to make that thing right now. I don't want to wait till next week. I don't wait till 3 years from now, brother. I want to make it right now. Come on now. Are we going to make mistakes? Oh, yes, we are. But a real child of God says, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, what can I do? Can I drink? Can I run around? Lord, let me live as close to the world as I can if I'm in you. You're not in him if you've got that attitude. If you've got that attitude, it breaks your heart when you do something wrong. Listen. Listen. Let's read another one, Brother Eric. Don't you see it? Don't look at yourself. Look at your sacrifice. God don't look at you. He look at your sacrifice, which is Christ. Don't look at yourself. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. Nobody's worthy. But He is the one. I'm not counting on what I've done, what I am, or I'd never make it. Brother Branham would never make it on what he done. This is 1961. By this time, oh my goodness, I hate to even try to estimate how many people has been led to Christ under his ministry. How many miracles have happened. How many great, wonderful things. And yet he said for him to try to make it on his own, he'd never make it. Why? It don't come that way. It comes by the atonement of Christ. Notice what he says, but I'm looking to what he done. That's where I'm trusting what he done. He's my sacrifice. I'm not worthy of healing, no sir. I ought to have died long. I ought to have never been born. But I live. I got eternal life. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because He done it for me. He took my place. I was not in need, cross-eyed, in every kind of condition. Now He's taking this from the mule, the little ass that was born. Remember? The firstborn had a right to be redeemed. So Brother Branham really dramatized and said, this little guy's out there in the barn. He's all knock kneed, standing there, and his ears is all flopped down and hanging down. He said, he says to his mama, Mama, when the master sees me, he'll kill me. I am knock kneed. I'm ugly as all get out. Mama, there's no way in the world I could ever be able to make it. But he said, if that mama really knew the word, mama would look back at that little boy of hers and say, look, son, you're the firstborn. You got a right to redemption. The master will never even see you. The priest will never even know you look this way. Hallelujah. Because the man upstairs is going to take an atonement for you. A little lamb is going to die for you. And Brother Branham likens himself to being knock-kneed and cross-eyed and our ears all hanging down. Look at what we were. Dross and drunkards and liars and whoremongers and everything else. And here we stand tonight. The church of the living God. Filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Friends, fitting, fixing to take a body change and go to heaven. And angels of God are going to bow in your midst. Why? Your sacrifice. Oh my. I was not need cross-eyed, never spiritual condition, but he took my place spiritually speaking. I was all twisted up and all messed up. And he took my place. So he makes me a perfect son of God. A perfect daughter of God. Can I read just one more? Masterpiece. I'm going to close. Now this is Brother Branham referring back to Sister Georgia Bruce's interview in the service. On the interview a few moments ago, I was speaking to a person in the room that's present now. I said, but Brother Branham, I have so many things that I know that's wrong. A godly little woman. How could there be such a contrast in what she said and what he said? Because they were looking at two different things. Imagine, Brother Phil, as God's prophet sits there. And God lets him see her through the sacrifice. I don't know how many people he was ever allowed to do this to. But I know at least one. How can you look at a person's life and say there's not one thing? That don't mean they're exempt from mistake. That don't mean that they don't have shortcomings somehow. But what he saw nothing. She was looking at herself and looking, and no doubt she could go down through a whole list, but again, say, well, I'll do this and I'll mess up here and I've done that. But what he was seeing is that, honestly, Sister Charlie, I don't see a thing. But Brother Bramer, here it is. It's a whole list. It's a whole list. I mean, here it is. Really? I don't. Mama. Sister Georgia, I don't see a thing. Is it at the bottom? Well, it's all over the whole wall. Really? Wow. Well, as your shepherd, I'm telling you, I don't see a thing. Now you imagine, Sister Georgia Bruce had to walk out of that building, that office that day. It was quite a challenge. Guess what? Y'all are going to have a similar one after tonight. If you got things in your life, fix them. Don't think God's going to, you know, turn his head against sin in your life. Get it right. But can you imagine when this bride gets everything right, except for the imperfection of humanity? There will be a time globally, I don't know how long it'll be, there will be a time globally that every member of this bride on every continent and every nation will have reached this stage that if the prophet was here, he could look at her and say, Lord Jesus, I don't see a thing. Now this is something to see it in just in one. Let's magnify this miracle, shall we? Can you imagine the whole bride around the world will reach this stage? And she'll be there for who knows how long. And when she does, it will trigger her husband to change clothes. Then our high priest will step into a room, as it were, and come out. His Royal Highness. He's laid aside his priestly garments. He's laid aside his intercession. Now he stands with his robes on. It's unbecoming for you to see him with blood on his garments. Oh, glory. His changing clothes means we're fixing to. Brother Donnie, how can that be? I don't know how to be friends, but I know that it will be. Every member of the bride will look this way when we go on the rapture. My brother Bram says, a godly little woman. I said, but look, sister, you don't look at yourself. It's what your desire is and what you try to do. And if you really love the Lord and you try to serve him with all your heart, then all your mistakes is hid in the blood of the Lord Jesus. See? He made a way.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus. Oh God. Help us tonight, Lord.
Lord, I remember that night as a little boy when I come up to that altar and some scales no doubt left my eyes. And I got saved, as we call it. The light of God began to shine upon my soul. The darkness of my nature began to melt away. Lord, now I've been serving you all these years. I need more illumination tonight, Father. I don't need to be resaved. But Lord, I need your word quicken to me as I ride on this palanquin. For me to get my eyes off of me. To get my eyes off of these people. Lord, you know my heart sometimes as a pastor. I get so discouraged. I just think, is it worth it? I study and study and pray and try my best to bring the word as best I can. People just do what they want to do, come to church when they want to go to church, and stay out and miss church for this and that and other. And I think, I'm just wasting my time. I just need to get a job somewhere and let somebody else do it. But Lord, I know your word will not return to you void. It will accomplish that which you've sent it for. So help us, Lord, not only to quit looking at ourselves, but to quit looking at one another. People won't come to church. Well, so-and-so's there, and so-and-so's there, and so-and-so's there. So they got their eyes on that person instead of you. So we look around at one another, and well, this one's got a fault, and that one's got a fault. Yep, we do. Lord, give us victory over this. Help us, Lord God, that we can look to your word. It's not for us to say who's bride and who ain't, who's saved and who ain't. You're the only judge of human hearts. Lord Jesus, we want to go on for ourselves. My first priority in my life, Lord Jesus, is for me to be ready. And Lord, I have a wife. I have children, grandchildren. I want them all to be there, Lord. But I can't make up their mind for them. If my children go on the rapture, they've got to go on their own new birth. They've got to go on their own life. My grandchildren, none of them will be saved because they're the pastor's grandkids. My son-in-laws will not be able to enter in that day because they were part of my family. They've got to be part of your family. Same with every person who comes here, Lord. Each of us have to have our own walk with God. Oh, every one of us, I'm sure, would have loved to sit in that room with that prophet and let discernment come down. Lord, he's gone now. That won't happen to us. But yet, the word is still a discerner of the thoughts. So, Lord, it's not so much that we're looking to go into some man's office and let him tell us, am I ready? Am I not ready? But we've sat right here in the presence of that one. Hallelujah. That great mighty conqueror, search our hearts tonight, Lord Jesus. May you be able to answer back as it was you who answered back, I believe, through that prophet speaking to Sister Georgie Bruce. I don't see one thing. Lord God, may you answer back tonight in this building. Those that are out streaming, every sincere heart. And Lord, if there's some here tonight that say, oh God, you can't say that to me because I've got this in my life and that in my life. Well, may they settle that right here tonight. May they get that out of their life. They may have come in here with something in their life, but let them leave without it. And then you can look at them and say, I don't see one thing. No jealousy, no animosity, no strife. No division in your heart. Nothing. You're not lusting. You're not lying. Oh, you're tempted to do this and that and the other. Just because you're tempted don't mean you do it. You resist that thing and it flees from you. My child, I don't see one thing that would hinder you this very night from going in the rapture. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Can we just raise our hands, friends? In the presence of the great King, will you accept the challenge? Will you accept the challenge to overcome the battle in your mind with battling against you versus what God's Word says about you? Are you going to conquer it? Many of you sisters have laid aside short dresses and cutting your hair and makeup and things like that years ago. But that ain't enough now. You've got to go on. You're in the palanquin on your journey, little bride. Let God's bodyguards protect you. Let them feed you. Let them nurture you. But ultimately, that decision will come back to you. I accept it tonight, Lord. I accept the words of life. If you're sick, accept His words of healing. Pull those healing thoughts into your mind and let them thoughts then become a manifestation in your body. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In your sight, I'm faulty. In my sight, you may be faulty. But aren't you glad in His sight, we can be holy, righteous, pure. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, I worship You tonight, Lord. I accept the challenge, my God. I've already accepted it, Lord, since You started dealing with me last week about this. I already accepted the challenge. I'm a week ahead of maybe. But Lord, I pray You'd help me. Help me, Lord. Help me not only to accept it, Lord God, for myself. Help me to accept it when my brothers or my sisters would trespass against me. Then I'll not look at themselves, but I'll know there's another life there. Another person there, Lord, whose desire is to do right, be pure and holy. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, bless Your name, Lord God. I worship You, Adonai. I magnify You, Lord God, for You are worthy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. You're the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Harry, sing something. Let us worship the Lord together. Can we just worship Him a little bit before we go? Oh my. I think I'm going to ask you something before Harry starts singing. If you in your heart tonight know that before God, there is nothing. Not one thing. How does that feel? Isn't that the most awesome, the most wonderful? And it's not here now. It's not tingling. It's not chills that's going over you. But it's something that's just settled down inside of here that you know. That if your life is taken before you walk out that door, if you pull out here on the road and a car comes down and takes your life, you're ready to meet God. There's nothing. And you want to see a miracle. Why is it we always put the miracles in just the natural physical part? I'm looking tonight at hundreds of miracles. I am looking at hundreds of miracles. Praise God. Can we just worship Him together?
What can wash
Hallelujah.
Away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh yes, Lord.
What can
make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, let's sing it now.
Is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part.
Lord Jesus, we worship you. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord God. Hallelujah. Talk to us on our journey, Lord. Oh, great Adonai, speak your words to us. Hallelujah. Drive away our unbelief. Drive away the shadows from our nature. Help us, Lord God, that we can see by revelation who we are. Our position in the cross. Our position in Christ. Insomuch that the angels of God would marvel. The angels of God, as we are taught in Scripture, that you use us to expound and teach angelic beings. How can it be so, Lord, that the manifold wisdom of God is expressed on the earth through the church, through the intent and the principalities and powers, would learn of the wisdom of God in your dealings with the church? They watch how you deal with us, and they learn. They watch how you teach us. They watch your redemption. They watch your reconciliation. They watch, and the angels behold, and they learn. As you display yourself through the variegated body of Christ. Hallelujah. Even with our baptism of the Holy Ghost and the angels, the scripture said, which things the angels desire to look into. Here we stand tonight born again with the Holy Ghost. And the angels never sin, never lie, never fail. And yet they desire to look into the Holy Ghost. They look at us and it creates an inquisitiveness in them that they don't understand. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. We worship you. We bless your name tonight, Jesus. Oh, don't you love him, children, with all your hearts? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. No wonder the prophet taught us we should never, never let our confession be negative. But we should always let it be positive. Amen. I'm saved. I'm going in the rapture. I'm a Christian. Don't never let your... No wonder we got so much to be so positive about. Amen. Brother Joel, sing for us. I'm going up yonder. Let's not make it a song tonight, but let this be your confession. I'm going up yonder. There ain't nothing going to stop me, including me. Amen. Praise be to God. Oh, let's worship him a little bit now before we go. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
If you want to know,
let's sing it now, saints.
Where I'm going,
let's worship our Lord together.
Where I'm going.
Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
So soon. If
just in case they ask you,
oh, where I'm going,
hallelujah,
someday soon.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going up the yard.
Worship him, saints.
He's all the way. Oh, I'm going up beyond.
the word of God, and knowing that I'll soon be gone.
I'm soon gonna be gone. Lord,
find my world as God gives me grace. You know He gives me grace. I'll run to Jesus.
I'm gonna win it.
I got to see my Savior.
My Jesus.
Between me and
yes,
yonder,
Lord,
I'm going in the rapture,
yes, Lord,
to be with the one I love.
No disrespect and taking nothing away from being with Him. But I'm going up yonder to be with you as well. Heaven's a mighty big place. I wouldn't want to live there with just me and Jesus. Well, some preachers have got to figure it out. It's just them and their church or their followers that's going in the rapture. That's a mighty big place for just a handful of people. When the prophet of God went beyond the curtain of time, He saw millions of them. We're only a handful out of them millions. Oh, glory. Well, let's sing together before we go. There's going to be a meeting in the air. In that sweet, sweet by and by. Amen. I mean, believes it. And he's going to be part of it by the grace of God. Absolutely. Sing it for us, Harry. Let's sing it together. Praise God. Service in the morning, if you can stand it. Again, at 11 o'clock. Oh, I'll tell you what, I broke into her room this evening. Carol come down the steps and looked at me. I should have done been up shaving, getting ready. She said, "Are you all right?" I said, "Whew." She said, "You okay?" I said, "I'm all right. I'm well, you'll be hearing about it." Glory to God. Oh, don't you love Him, children? Aren't you glad we're not feeding on the words of a man? We're not feeding on the personality of some preacher, some church somewhere. We're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Christ Jesus is among us. His word. Amen. Let's sing it together. God bless you. Let's sing it as we go. Oh, thank God.
Lord, there is going to be a meeting in the air.
In that sweet, sweet by and by.
I'm going to
see you, brothers and sisters.
Beyond the sky.
Beyond the sky.
Singing,
you will hear. Never heard by mortal ear.
Will be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son
will be that leading one
at that meeting.
Let's sing it again. Everybody together. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. In that sweet, sweet by and by. Son will be thy leading one at that meeting.
I would like to meet them all, I do declare.
Yeah. By and by, by let us meet them at that meeting in the air.
There is going to be a meeting in the air.
In that sweet, sweet by.
There,
in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. Twill be glorious, I do declare.
When God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting
in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting.